on this most auspicious occasion of Raghunath Das Goswami's Chiradahi Festival. The background to this incident goes back to the earlier life of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. His uncle and father, Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar, were very wealthy landlords in Bengal. They were almost like kings, and they had huge palace, opulent palace on the river, with boats that would go on the river. And Raghunath Das was the only son of in the family, the only son between the two brothers. And naturally they put all their hopes in him to carry on the family dynasty. But Raghunath Das, from a very young age, was attracted to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The father and uncle, Hiranya and Govardhan, were very generous and pious. It is said that they practically maintained the whole Brahmin community with their charity. And their family priest was Yadunandanacharya, who was a disciple of Advaitacharya of the Panchatattva. And another family friend was Balaramacharya, who was a good friend of Yadunandanacharya. And another friend was Srila Haridas Thakur. In fact, Haridas Thakur would sometimes stay in the same village as Yadunandanacharya and Balaramacharya, and they would take care of him, provide for all of his needs. So as a young boy, Raghunath Das had the association of these great souls, associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they used to tell him about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they would encourage him to chant. Sometimes we also, when we meet little children, say, chant Hare Krishna. So he wanted to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but his family would not allow him. So on one occasion, he begged his father and uncle to let him meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said it would be that he wouldn't be able to maintain his life if they didn't let him go. So they let him go. And for 7 days, Raghunath Das stayed with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he didn't say anything about wanting to leave his family, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand his mind and gave him some instructions. And these instructions form the background of the Panihati festival, and I will read them. This is from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 16. Text 235. Raksakera hatamuni kemana chutiba kemane prabhura sange nilachalayaba. Raghunath Das thought, how shall I be able to get free from the hands of the watchmen? Raghunath Das would sometimes try to run away from home to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So his family hired guards to watch 24 hours to make sure he couldn't escape. He would escape and they would catch him and bring him back. Then he would get another opportunity. He would try again. They would catch him and bring him back. And this became a regular affair. So Raghunath Das thought, how shall I be able to get free from the hands of the watchmen? How shall I be able to go with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Neelachal? Neelachal means Jagannath Puri. Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was omniscient, he could understand Raghunath Das's mind. The Lord therefore instructed him with the following reassuring words. Stirahana gareyao nahau vatula krame krame payaloka bhava sindukula. Be patient and return home. Don't be a crazy fellow. By and by, you will be able to cross the ocean of material existence. Markata vairagya nakara loka dekana yata yogya vishaya bunja anasaktahana. You should not make yourself a show bottle devotee and become a false renunciant. For the time being, enjoy the material world in a befitting way and do not become attached to it. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word markata vairagya, indicating false renunciation, is very important in this verse. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in commenting on this word, points out that monkeys make an external show of renunciation by not accepting clothing and by living naked in the forest. In this way, they consider themselves renunciants. But actually, they are very busy enjoying sense gratification with dozens of female monkeys. Such renunciation is called markata vairagya, the renunciation of a monkey. One cannot really become renounced until one becomes disgusted with material activity and sees it as a stumbling block to spiritual advancement. Renunciation should not be phalgu, temporary, but should exist throughout one's life. Temporary renunciation or monkey renunciation is the renunciation one feels at a cremation ground. When a man takes a dead body to the crematorium, he sometimes thinks, this is the final end of the body. Why am I working so hard day and night? Such sentiments naturally arise in the mind of any man who goes to a crematorial ghat. However, as soon as he returns from the creation grounds, he again engages in material activity for sense enjoyment. This is called smashan vairagya or markata vairagya. In order to render service to the Lord, one may accept necessary things. If one lives in this way, he may actually become renounced. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 1-108, it is said, Yavata satsa nirvaha satkuryata varartavit adikye nunatayam cha chavate paramarthata. The bare necessities of life must be accepted, but one should not superfluously increase his necessities, nor should they be unnecessarily decreased. One should simply accept what is necessary to help one advance spiritually. In his Durgama Sangamani, Sri Jiva Goswami comments that the word sanirvaha actually means svasva bhakti nirvaha. The experienced devotees will accept only those material things that will help him render service to the Lord. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-256, Markata Vairagya or Phalgu Vairagya is explained as follows. Prapakanchataya Budhya Hari Sambandhi Vastuna Mamukshubi Parityago Vairagyam Phalgu Katyate. When a person eager to achieve liberation renounces things related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking them to be material, their renunciation is called incomplete. Whatever is favorable for the rendering of service to the Lord should be accepted and should not be rejected as a material thing. Yukta Vairagya, or befitting renunciation, is thus explained. Anasaktasya Vishayan Yataharam Upayunjataha Nirbandha Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate. Things should be accepted for the Lord's service and not for one's personal sense gratification. If one accepts something without attachment and accepts it because it is related to Krishna, one's renunciation is called Yukta Vairagya. Since Krishna is the absolute truth, whatever is accepted for his service is also the absolute truth. So, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami enumerates 64 items of devotional service, beginning with Ado Gravashraya. One should take shelter of a spiritual master. One should take initiation from him. One should take instruction from him. One should inquire from him. And at the end of the list, he discusses certain items that he has not included in the list, which one might think should have been included or could have been included. And one of the items is the cultivation of vairagya, detachment. Rupa Goswami explains why he has not included it in the list. He said that bhakti by nature makes the heart soft. The actual activities of bhakti, which are primarily hearing and chanting about Krishna and remembering Krishna, make the heart soft, whereas the cultivation of knowledge by mental speculation and the performance of artificial austerities tend to make the heart hard, which is the exact opposite of bhakti. Then the question arises, Well, if we don't cultivate detachment from material things, does it mean we should be attached to them? And of course, the answer is no. Then how to resolve this dilemma? We don't want to be attached to material things, but at the same time, we don't want to specifically cultivate detachment from material things. So in answer to this question, Rupa Goswami has composed this very important verse that Srila Prabhupada quoted in the purport. Anasattasya Vishayan. Anasattasya means without being attached. And Vishayan means, say, the objects of the senses. Without being attached, when one engages them in relation to Krishna, in devotional service, nirbandha Krishna sambandha yukta vairagya uchate, that is considered appropriate renunciation. Srila Prabhupada used to quote the example of a famous monk in India some years ago, who was supposed to be so renounced that if anyone offered him money, his hand would shrivel and turn away. Srila Prabhupada said, but if anyone offers us money, we will immediately take it and use it in Krishna's service. And the impersonalists who have no idea of Krishna, of the beauty of Krishna, of the actual identity of the living entity as the eternal servant of Krishna, although they pose as being very renounced, actually they're not. And in contrast to Yukta Vairagya, Rupa Goswami has composed another verse that describes Phalgu Vairagya. And Phalgu is a river in Bihar which has the peculiar quality of looking like dry land. If you look at it, it looks like sand. But underneath the surface, there's a whole river, a strong current under the surface. So impersonalists who reject the world, who reject material things as maya or illusion, their renunciation is called Phalgu because they're like the Phalgu River. On the surface, they appear to be very renounced, but underneath the surface, there's a strong current of material desire. So, in the very beginning of Rupa Goswami's definition of bhakti, he raises the question of what makes one eligible for bhakti? What is the adhikar for bhakti? And there he quotes a verse from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yadrichayat matkatado. The first thing is one should have attraction and faith. Ado Shraddha, faith and attraction for his messages, and Nanirvina Nasaktischo. One should not be too attached or too detached. And this might also seem odd, but he explains, the Bhagavatam explains, that if someone is too materially attached, they won't be able to take to bhakti because they're too attached. They'll want to engage in fruitive activities. So they might take to karma or karma yoga. But if one is too averse, if one is too negative, then he will take to jnana, like impersonal speculation. But so to take to bhakti, one shouldn't be too attached or too detached or too averse. One should be in the middle. And that again comes back to the condition of the heart. Because both make the heart hard. Artificial austerities and sense gratification. They both make the heart hard. So, now, what does Lord Chaitanya tell Raghunath Das? Right, he said, don't be a crazy fellow. Don't be a monkey renunciate. Okay, that's what he shouldn't do. Now, what should he do? Antare nistakara baye loka vyavahar achirat krishna tamaya karibe udara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, within your heart, you should keep yourself very faithful, but externally, you may behave like an ordinary man. Thus, Krishna will soon be very pleased and deliver you from the clutches of Maya. Vrindavana dekhiya be asibai nilachale tabe tume ama pasha asiha kona chale. You may see me at Nilachal, Jagannath Puri, when I return after visiting Vrindavan. By that time, you can think of some trick to escape. What kind of means you will have to use at that time will be revealed by Krishna. If one has Krishna's mercy, no one can check him. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to Raghunath Das, who returned home and did exactly what the Lord told him. After returning home, Raghunath Das gave up all craziness and external renunciation and engaged in his household duties without attachment. So, for 1 year, Raghunath Das remained at home. There were some serious legal implications with the family, which he handled very expertly. And by his astute intervention, the family was saved from a very difficult situation with the Mohammedan government, and they were able to continue their activities without difficulty. I actually hadn't thought of this for a long time, but when Tukaram Prabhu introduced me and mentioned my history in Juhu, Bombay, I remembered once, because I always had this image of Raghunath Das Goswami. I was a new devotee. I really didn't know internally what Raghunath Das Goswami was, but externally I liked the idea of just being a Goswami in Vrindavan and one night under one tree, another night under another tree. And Srila Prabhupada, I never said anything to him, but he's like, well, he's empowered by the Lord. So like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could read Raghunath Das's mind. So it was the same thing with Prabhupada. I was just sitting in his room in front of him. I didn't say anything. And he looked at me and he said, because he was very concerned, Prabhupada was very concerned about the Juhu project. So he looked at me and he said, first you manage your father's property like Raghunath Das Goswami, then you go to Vrindavan and be a Goswami. Finally, even though Raghunath Das was always being watched by guards, he got the idea. He heard that Nityananda Prabhu had come nearby to Panihati. So he thought, okay, let me meet Nityananda Prabhu. Let the guards come with me. At least let me see Nityananda Prabhu. So, in this way, this is, by the way, Antya Leela, chapter 6, Lord Chaitanya meets Raghunath Das Goswami, text 35. In this way, Raghunath Das passed 1 year exactly like a first-class business manager. But the next year, he again decided to leave home. He got up alone one night and left, but his father caught him in a distant place and brought him back. This became almost a daily affair. Raghunath Das would run away from home, and his father would bring him back. Then Raghunath Das's mother spoke to his father as follows. Our son has become mad. She said, just keep him by binding him with ropes. His father, being very unhappy, replied to her as follows. Raghunath Das, our son, has opulence like Indra, the heavenly king. And his wife is as beautiful as an angel. Yet all this could not tie down his mind. How then could we keep this boy home by binding him with ropes? It is not possible even for one's father to nullify the reactions of one's past activities. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has fully bestowed his mercy on him. Who can keep home such a madman of Chaitanya Chandra? Sometimes the parents of Prabhupada's disciples also thought they had become mad. Like, once these two brothers, Bruce and Greg Scharf, they joined, and their mother came to Srila Prabhupada and complained that her boys had become crazy. And, well, Prabhupada spoke to her, and then he went and gave a class, Who is Crazy? And he said, what is the definition of a crazy person? A crazy person is someone who doesn't know who he is. Like, if I think I'm Napoleon Bonaparte, or Theodore Roosevelt, or Mahatma Gandhi, that means I'm crazy. I don't know who I am. So Prabhupada said, anyone who thinks he's the body is crazy. He doesn't know who he is. So who's crazy? These boys crazy? Are these devotees crazy? Or are you all crazy? Then Raghunath Das considered something in his mind, and the next day he went to Nityananda Gosani. In the village of Panihati, Raghunath Das obtained an interview with Nityananda Prabhu, who was accompanied by many kirtan performers, servants, and others. Sitting on a rock under a tree on the bank of the Ganges, Lord Nityananda seemed as effulgent as hundreds of thousands of rising suns. Narottam Das Thakur says, Koti Chandra Sushitava, that his lotus feet are as cooling as thousands, hundreds of thousands of moons. And here he's described as effulgent as hundreds of thousands of rising suns. Many devotees sat on the ground surrounding him. Seeing the influence of Nityananda Prabhu, Raghunath Das was astonished. Raghunath Das offered his obeisances by falling prostrate at a distant place, and the servant of Nityananda Prabhu pointed out, "There's Raghunath Das offering you obeisances." Hearing this, Nityananda Prabhu said, "You are a thief. Now you have come to see me. Come here, come here. Today I will punish you." Because he was offering obeisances from a distance. So, of course, he was doing it out of humility, but Nityananda Prabhu took it that he's remaining in the shadows and the outskirts like a thief. The Lord called him, but Raghunath Das did not go near the Lord. Then the Lord forcibly caught him and placed his lotus feet upon Raghunath Das's head. Raghunath Das was a young, he was only about, at most, 22 years old then, a very young man. Lord Nityananda was by nature very merciful and funny. Being merciful, he spoke to Raghunath Das as follows. "You are just like a thief, for instead of coming near, you stay away at a distant place. Now that I have captured you, I shall punish you. Make a festival and feed all my associates yogurt and chipped rice." Hearing this, Raghunath Das was greatly pleased. Now this is a very humorous request, because Raghunath Das, he was like, you know, the son of kings, and chipped rice is like the most simple food. You know, it would be as if, well, I'm probably a few decades old here, but it would be as if, you know, Mr. Rockefeller came and said, you know, I want to do some service for the temple. And Tukaram Prabhu said, you can distribute puffed rice to all the people who come to the temple. It's like a joke. Of course, that's not a good example, because I don't think Mr. Rockefeller would come and make that offer, and I don't think Tukaram Prabhu would ask for puffed rice either, if he did make the offer. But this was very humorous. This was just, picture it, you know, he's living in, you know, unlimited opulence, like Indra, the king of heaven. And Nityananda Prabhu says, "Okay, I'm going to punish you. You have to serve flat rice and yogurt to all of my associates." Raghunath Das immediately sent his own men back to the village to purchase all kinds of edibles and bring them back. Raghunath Das brought chipped rice, yogurt, milk, sweetmeats, sugar, bananas, and other edibles and placed them all around. As soon as they heard a festival was going to be held, all kinds of Brahmins and other gentlemen began to arrive. Just like here. You heard there was a festival, so you arrived. Thus there were innumerable people. Seeing the crowd increasing, Raghunath Das arranged to get more edibles from other villages. He also brought 200 to 400 large round earthen pots. He also obtained 5 or 7 especially large earthen pots. And in these pots, a Brahmin began soaking chipped rice for the satisfaction of Lord Nityananda. In one place, chipped rice was soaked in hot milk in each of the large pots. Then half of the rice was mixed with yogurt, sugar, and bananas. The other half was milked with condensed milk and a special type of banana known as champakala. Then sugar, clarified butter, and camphor were added. After Nityananda Prabhu had changed his cloth for a new one and sat on a raised platform, the Brahmin brought before him the 7 huge pots. On that platform, all the most important associates of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, as well as other important men, sat down in a circle around the Lord. And then the author enumerates various great associates of Nityananda Prabhu. As you probably know, Nityananda Prabhu is the incarnation of Balaram. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. And Balaram is always accompanied by his cowherd boyfriends. So many of Balaram's cowherd boyfriends in Krishna Leela, they descended on earth at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And they took birth mainly in Brahmin families, and they became, a number of them, they became associates of Nityananda Prabhu. And one of them actually has a connection with Srila Prabhupada's family, Udarandatta Thakur. Hearing about the festival, all kinds of learned scholars, Brahmins, and priests went there. Lord Nityananda Prabhu honored them and made them sit on the raised platform with him. Everyone was offered two earthen pots. In one was put chipped rice with condensed milk, and in the other chipped rice with yogurt. All the other people sat in groups around the platform. No one could count how many people there were. So each was supplied two pots, and Raghunath Das kept buying more milk and yogurt, more bananas and other fruits, more chipped rice. And not only did the Brahmins come to know about the festival and come to participate, but the merchants came to sell their goods. And Raghunath Das would buy their chipped rice and milk and yogurt, and then he would feed them with the same chipped rice and milk and yogurt. So there was a huge multitude of people. And eventually, all the space on the ground was occupied. There was no more place to sit. So people started to stand on the banks of the Ganges. And eventually, all the space on the banks of the Ganges got filled with people. So people started to stand in the water of the Ganges and eat their chipped rice and milk and yogurt. So it's a very nice description, but we don't have time to read it all or describe it all. But one interesting incident took place towards the end, and that is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came invisibly to see the fun. And so he and Nityananda Prabhu went around amongst all the devotees, and Nityananda Prabhu would take a morsel of rice from each of the pots and put it in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mouth. But nobody, except for a few special fortunate souls, could understand what was happening. So another great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu is Raghava Pandit. And his house is just in Panihati, just near where this festival took place. And he invited Nityananda Prabhu to come to his house for a feast. So Nityananda Prabhu said that we're busy now. We're having a picnic. I and my friends are like cowherd boys, and we like to have picnics by the bank of the river. But in the evening, we'll come to your house and eat the opulent feast that you've prepared. And that evening, as promised, he came to Raghava Pandit's house. There was Sankirtan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself came. And then there was a big feast. So the next morning, it was time for Raghunath Das to go home. And because he was so humble, he didn't approach Nityananda Prabhu directly, but he submitted his appeal through Raghava Pandit. Text 126. In the morning, after his taking his bath in the Ganges, Nityananda Prabhu sat down with his associates beneath the same tree under which he had previously sat. Raghunath Das went there and worshipped Lord Nityananda's lotus feet. Through Raghava Pandit, he submitted his desire. Adama paramamui hina jiva dama more ichahaya pana chaitanya charana. I am the lowest of men, the most sinful, fallen, and condemned. Nevertheless, I desire to attain shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vamanahana yena chada daribare chaya aneka yatna kainu tate kabu siddhanaya. I am like a dwarf who wants to catch the moon. I've tried my best many times, but I've never been successful. Every time I tried to go away and give up my home relationships, my father and mother unfortunately kept me bound. No one can attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without your mercy. But if you are merciful, even the lowest of men can attain shelter at his lotus feet. Although I am unfit and greatly afraid to submit this plea, I nevertheless request you, sir, to be especially merciful toward me by granting me shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is an important principle, that without the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, no one can attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu agreed. He placed his lotus feet on Raghunath Das's head. He praised the opulence of Raghunath Das, that although he has so much material opulence, like Indra, the king of heaven, he has no attachment for it at all. And he said, my dear Raghunath Das, since you arranged the feast on the bank of the Ganges, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here just to show you his mercy. By his causeless mercy, he ate the chipped rice and milk. Then, after seeing the dancing of the devotees at night, he took his supper. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaurahari, came here personally to deliver you. Now rest assured that all the impediments meant for your bondage are gone. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will accept you and place you under the charge of his secretary, Swarup Damodar. You will thus become one of the most confidential internal servants and will attain shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Being assured of this, return to your own home. Very soon, without impediments, you will attain shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Raghunath Das arranged for gold coins to be left in the care of Raghava Pandit to be distributed to the Vaishnavas, Nityananda Prabhu and his associates and others, different amounts to different categories. But he told Raghava Pandit not to distribute the gold coins until Raghunath Das had left. He didn't want to be there to get any credit for it. So Raghunath Das went home, and he no longer slept inside the palace, but he would sleep in the Durga Mandap, outside of the house. And then one evening it happened, as Nityananda Prabhu had predicted, that Raghunath Das got an opportunity to escape. The family priest, Raghunath Das's guru, Yadunandanacharya, came one night and said that one of the other disciples who was supposed to worship the deity did not come to do the worship. He declined to do the worship. So he requested Raghunath Das to accompany him to convince the pujari to do the seva. So it was late at night. Most of the guards were sleeping anyway, and Yadunandanacharya was a trusted member of the household. He was the family priest of the Majumdars, so Raghunath Das left with Yadunandanacharya. After walking some distance, he told Yadunandanacharya, "Guru Maharaj, there's no need for you to accompany me. It's late. You can go to your place and take rest. And be assured, I will meet the disciple and I will convince him to take up his service." So Yadunandanacharya went to his place. Raghunath Das met the disciple and convinced him to take up the service of the deities. And then he left for Neelachal. And because he knew that his family would send out people to find him, so he took the inner route, and he walked for 12 days. It was a long distance. He walked. And his mind was just fixed on the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On most of the days, he didn't eat anything. But because he was fixed in his determination, he didn't mind. And eventually he attained the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Nityananda Prabhu had predicted. So this gives us a clue as to how we can become free from material attachments. All the scriptures say that to achieve Krishna, to achieve love for Krishna, one should be free from material attachments. But cultivating detachment is not the process. So what is the process? The process is service. Specifically, service that will please Nityananda Prabhu. Because if we please Nityananda Prabhu, by his mercy, we will gain detachment from material things. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that we will have to leave home like Raghunath Das did. He's a different example. He's a different example. He's one kind of example. But there are other examples among Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates who did not leave home. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not ask them to leave home. In fact, in some cases, he instructed them to remain at home. And this is another mystery. And in fact, Srila Prabhupada asked his Guru Maharaj this very question. Although Srila Prabhupada didn't have so much personal association with his Guru Maharaj, And sometimes he said he only asked one question, how can I serve you? But he did mention that he asked another question, posed another question, and that is that Rupa Goswami or Raghunath Das Goswami, they were very renounced, but they were very close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Ramananda Rai, he was also very close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he was living in royal opulence. So how can we understand this bhogan tyaga? Bhoga means enjoyment. It seems that Ramananda Rai was an example of bhoga, and Rupa Goswami was an example of tyaga, renunciation. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave a very wonderful answer. He gave the example of a wife. This is in the traditional culture. That when the husband leaves home, the wife dresses very simply. She'll sleep on the floor. She won't eat nice food. She'll live very simply. But the same woman, when her husband comes home, she'll take a nice bath, apply oil on her body, dress very nicely, put on ornaments to please her husband. Actually, both are to please her husband, living in very austerely when he's away, living very simply. In that culture, it was what a chaste woman did when her husband was away. And of course, the background to everything in Vedic culture is Krishna consciousness. Without Krishna consciousness, it sounds very hard and cruel and mean. But it just meant that when her husband was away, she would live very simply and focus on God, because her husband was gone. But when he would come home, you know, she would bathe and dress very nicely and serve him in that kind of happy mood. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that whether she's living very simply, as when her husband is away, or dressing very nicely, as when her husband comes home, the purpose is the same, to please her husband. And in bhakti, what the devotee's goal is only one, to please Krishna. So if by being renounced he can please Krishna, then he'll be renounced, as in the case of Rupa Goswami. That was his service. Or he can live in great opulence like Ramananda Rai. That was his service. And both pleased Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when I talk about becoming free from material attachment, because I saw some concerned looks on the faces of some of the audience, it doesn't mean that, you know, the son is going to leave the parents, or the husband's going to leave the wife, or the wife's going to leave the husband. It just means that one will become free from material bondage. And according to one's situation, according to what pleases the Lord, according to one's status in life, one can remain in one's position. When Ramananda Rai was discussing with Lord Chaitanya what is the perfection of life, what is sadhya, Ramananda Rai gave the answer. The first answer that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fully accepted was stane stita shruti gatim tanuvan manobir. It's a verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which basically says that you should give up the process of mental speculation and just become submissive. You can remain in your position. Sthanechitta means remain in your position. If you're a grihastha, you can remain a grihastha. If you're whatever you are, you can remain in your position. But hear the messages of Krishna from the mouths of pure devotees. That's the real principle of devotional service that was accepted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you can remain in your position. Many of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intimate associates were householders. Even in the Panchatattva, Advaitacharya was the ideal householder. So, but at a certain stage, it may be favorable for someone to actually leave the family. And either way, it is by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Whether one is in the family or not, that doesn't really matter. But what really matters is increasing our attachment for Krishna. Being detached from Maya really comes when one is attached to Krishna. But at the same time, if we're preoccupied with Maya, it'll be hard to develop our attachment to Krishna. So we have to make efforts to simplify our lives. Otherwise, they'll be like too complicated. We'll have too many things on our mind to really chant and hear properly. And that's the main process, as we all know. Harinama, Harinama, Harinami, Vikevalam. But the way to chant properly to get the full benefit is to chant with attention. Now, if our mind is wandering, we're chanting, but we're not really getting the benefit. That's an offense, actually, namaparad, to be inattentive while chanting. And it's said that all the other offenses follow from inattention. And on the other hand, if one chants with attention, if one actually hears, then the other offenses will be destroyed. It's very important to chant with attention. But if we're too preoccupied with Maya, then we're chanting with our beads, but our minds are, thinking how much money we have in the bank. Do we have enough to pay the bills? Or whatever. So we want to keep our life simple. It's hard in Kali Yuga, but as simple as possible. And that time when we chant, that should be our time with Krishna, our time with the holy name. We shouldn't be thinking about other things. We can do that, we have to do that, but not when we're chanting and hearing about Krishna. And the other thing that pleases Krishna is when we preach. And this is very important, because we know from the end of the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna says that of all servants, he who preaches the message of the Bhagavad Gita is most dear to me. There will never be one as dear to me as he. There's no one as dear to me as he, nor will there ever be. And in the end, it is guaranteed that he will come to me. He will go back home, back to Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada, he sort of paraphrased many of the principles that we've discussed in a class he gave in Los Angeles. He said that in order to approach Radha and Krishna, one must get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But in order to get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one must get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. And in order to get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, one must approach people like Jagai and Madhai. Jagai Madhai, you probably know, but they were very sinful, fallen souls. And Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur approached them, requested them to chant the holy names, and they were so fallen that they began to blaspheme Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. And eventually one of them threw a pot at Nityananda Prabhu and hit him on the forehead, and blood started to come. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about it, he came to the spot. He was ready to kill Jagai and Madhai. But Nityananda Prabhu intervened. He said, "My Lord, this is Kali Yuga. In previous ages, you would kill the demons, but in Kali Yuga, you can't kill the demons. If you kill people like Jagai and Madhai, in Kali Yuga, you'll have to kill everyone, because everyone will be like Jagai and Madhai, eating meat, drinking wine, and so on." So he said, "In Kali Yuga, we don't kill them physically, we just kill their demonic mentality." So when Jagai and Madhai, well, first they were under the threat of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sudarsan Chakra, so they were, that was on the one side, and then on the other side was Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. So they chose Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, and they surrendered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they took up the chanting of the holy name, they gave up their sinful activities, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never again referred to their past. So Srila Prabhupada said, to get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, we have to approach people like Jagai and Madhai. That means the people on the street, people everywhere. It means we have to approach the people. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, that, you know, instruct people to, Bolo Krishna, Bajo Krishna, Bolo Krishna Sika, to chant Krishna's name, worship Krishna, and follow Krishna's instructions. Very simple. Srila Prabhupada also quoted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Amara gyai guru hai tare desh, yare deke tare kaha Krishna upadesh." Wherever you go, whomever you meet, you just repeat the message of Krishna. And in this way you become guru, and you deliver the people around you. So it's not very difficult. You just repeat. Krishna says, "Surrender to me." The guru says, "Surrender to Krishna." The guru doesn't say, "Surrender to me." He says, "Surrender to Krishna." So it's very easy. Srila Prabhupada had a disciple named Shamsundar. Well, there were a couple, Shamsundar and Malati, and they had a little girl named Saraswati. She was just maybe 3 years old, 4 or 5. So she would approach people. We had an apartment on Warden Road, a very prestigious location in Bombay. So all these respectable gentlemen would come, and she would approach them and say, "Do you know who is Krishna?" And then she'd say, "Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And Srila Prabhupada says, "She's preaching. What she's doing is perfect. She's just repeating." So just repeat. Anyone can do it. We don't have to be very intellectual and imaginative and creative. We just repeat. And in that way, we get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu through Srila Prabhupada, for us, Srila Prabhupada is the representative of Nityananda Prabhu. So everything that we've said about getting the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu can be achieved by getting the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, who's taken up the mission of the Panchatattva, Gauranitai. So that's part of the duty of the spiritual master, that he engages the disciples in such a way that they get the mercy of the Lord. And that's what Srila Prabhupada did with us through ISKCON. He created ISKCON in such a way that by preaching, by holding festivals like we're having here, and we have here every Sunday and on special occasions, by preaching, we get the mercy of the Lord. But to have the potency to preach, we have to practice. And the essential practices are chanting 16 rounds with attention, not like one devotee commented, devotees have become very expert with their left hands, because that way with their right hands they can have their right hand in the bead bag, and with their left hand they can dust the house, they can even type on the keys in the computer with their left hand. It's like they become very expert with their left hand. So not like that, but 16 good rounds, as good as possible, with attention, and follow the four principles and work to spread the Sankirtan movement. And that's all we have to do. That's literally, of course it's not such a small thing, but it's all we have to do. 16 good rounds, follow the regulative principles, and work to our capacity to spread the Sankirtan movement. And Srila Prabhupada said if we do that, he will guarantee that we will go back home, back to Godhead. And that means ultimately attain the service of Radha and Krishna. So he's given us everything. We just have to take it. It's so simple. We just have to take it. Sometimes Prabhupada used to quote, there was a cartoon in a magazine, and an old man was sitting across from an old woman, and the wife was telling the husband, chant, chant, chant. And the husband was saying, can't, can't, can't. That is our misfortune in Kali Yuga, that with the same effort that it takes to refuse to chant, we could chant. That is our misfortune. But still, devotees are tirelessly working, ceaselessly endeavoring to encourage people. It's difficult. Prabhupada said it's like, that's who is crazy. It's like people are mad. It's hard. We're like, well, the example he gave, it's like being a psychiatrist in a madhouse. It's very hard to make a crazy person sane. You can see, I mean, I'm very happy with the audience here, but it's just a small group, you know. Most people are out enjoying, trying to enjoy what they call enjoyment. But because it is hard, the mercy one gets for making the effort is even greater. And therefore we should do our best.
Giridhar Maharaj Ki.